Hi, this is Tony Broom. Many years ago now, the Lord led me to do a podcast. I started a podcast so that people could hear the preaching that was going on in our services. Then the Lord led me to include a Bible lesson. We had no way of knowing at that time what we're facing now. Many people are not able to be in church, and therefore they're not able to study God's Word as they should. Tony Broom Ministries now presents the following Bible lesson, entitled, Return from Exile. It's pitiful to see what God's people had to go through. They suffered so much over the years, over the centuries. Israel was God's chosen people, and they still are. But God told them over and over, you have to stay true to me. You have to do what I tell you in my word. You have to listen to my law. If you will do what I tell you, you'll be blessed. If you don't do what I tell you, you'll be cursed. That's just about as simple as you can put it. And God tried everything that he could to get his people to listen to him. And they refused to listen. They refused to walk in his law. Even when he brought them out of Egypt, from the time they left, and even before they went against God, they didn't do what God said. All throughout the wilderness, throughout the promised land, he gave them the promised land. He said, I've given this land to you, Abraham, his children. But they refused to walk in God's ways. And as quick as they got in the promised land, they started going after the gods of the nations which are around them. God told them specifically, do not worship their gods, do not serve them, do not act like them. And we have to be different. Christians in the new covenant certainly are called on to be different. Christians can trust God to keep his covenant promises. If God was willing and able to keep his promises under the old covenant, we know that he will keep his promises under the new covenant. The new covenant is so much better than the old covenant. The old covenant was based on the law and the commandment. There's nothing wrong with the law. There's a whole lot wrong with us. And God said, if you walk in my law, you'll be blessed. As long as you're doing, you're living. But the moment you quit doing, you quit living as far as God is concerned. And so God had promised us, and he promises people in the old covenant that if you keep my covenant, you'll be blessed. So they broke the covenant. And so God gave us a new covenant of mercy, grace, truth, a covenant that was based on the blood of Christ instead of the blood of the Lamb. So God continued in this old covenant, working with Israel, trying to get them to listen to him. He sent his messengers, the prophets, and they continued prophesying to Israel, trying to get them to come to God, and they refused. And there was no other alternative. God said, if you will not listen to me, there is no other remedy that you'll be carried into captivity. And it was a long captivity. Jeremiah said it would be 70 years to be taken away from your homeland. We think that dealing with a virus or COVID for a year, half a year, or whatever it is a long time. And it is a long time to be interrupted. Can't go to church and can't see people. You can't do this. You have to wear a face covering. You go get medicine or you go get your groceries or do anything. And it's inconvenient to say the least. But how would you feel if you were doing something like this and even worse for 70 years? They were slaughtered. They were massacred, they were ridiculed, they were persecuted, and this enemy, they had no mercy on young man, old man, young maiden, children. It didn't matter, they would just slaughter them and run over them. It was a pitiful situation, and Lamentations describes it, the prophets describe it. And they had tried to reach Israel, and they said, God wants to save you, and he wants to deliver you. He does not want you to go into captivity. But they refused. And so 70 long years, the land lies desolate and enjoys her Sabbaths. the dragons and the owls and all the screech owls and these big beasts and animals take over the places where they used to live and where they used to flourish and have farmland and woods, and now the animals take it over. All the palaces and all the fortresses were inhabited by doleful creatures, the Bible calls them. So God says at the end of 70 years, I will bring you back into your homeland. Just as much as a captivity is a disgrace, even that much and more would be a miracle. How in the world is God going to bring Israel and Judah especially back into their homeland? How will that happen? They're just down for the last count. Looks like they'll be destroyed. But God's promise never fails. In Ezra chapter 1 verse 2, thus saith Cyrus king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he hath charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem. How in the world would God touch the heart of a man like this and not only allow the Jews to go back to their homeland, but actually put it in his heart to build the temple at Jerusalem? The temple had been destroyed. It had been burned with fire. The walls of Jerusalem all around and about had been burned with fire. All the gates were smitten and charred and burned. It was a disgrace what this beautiful city of God had to go through because they would not listen to God. And this is a lesson for us, brothers and sisters in America and even in the church. If we don't listen to God, we're not too big and too proud to be dealt with either. If God went against Israel because they went against him, actually, but if God sent Israel into captivity, then he will deal with us, certainly on the new covenant, as sons and daughters. So we need to learn a lesson from them and not do like they did, not be bullheaded and stubborn like they were. In our nation, all you have to do is look around, and you can see so much similarity. God is so good to us. He's blessed us so much. And it seems like we're bent on hell, going to hell. We're bent on going against God. God says, I will bring you back to your land, and I will actually cause the temple to be rebuilt. Thus saith King Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. And he has charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. This is one of the astounding and amazing events of history and scripture, is how God dealt with the heart of this heathen king Cyrus to have the temple in Jerusalem rebuilt. This temple that had been destroyed, now it will be rebuilt. What an amazing thing. God is so good. God never ceases to amaze me. Seems like we've got him figured out. Okay, we've sinned against God. That's it. He'll just do away with us. And God says, not quite so quick. I've got something else I can do. I'll send my son Jesus, and he'll take your place on the old rugged cross, and he'll die in your stead, be risen from the dead, and he will take your sin. He will take your sickness. We've got it so much better made in the shade under the new covenant than they ever had in the old covenant. This King Cyrus, he never claimed to be a Christian. Isaiah chapter 45 talks about him. God says, you're Cyrus, you have not known me. Even though you have not known me, you're like a tool in my right hand. I am going to use you to bring my sons and my daughters back to their land and even rebuild the temple in Jerusalem. He even makes a decree inviting the Jews to go back to their homeland and work in this project. Someone who had taken them into captivity, into slavery, 70 years before, he hadn't done it, but one of his predecessors did. And now here he comes along and says, not only will you go back to your homeland, but you'll be allowed to work in building the temple. He commands silver and gold and material resources to be made available to them. He even, now this is God. God makes it to where this man, out of his own treasures, furnishes the materials for the house of God to be rebuilt. You might go against God, and you might burn his house, and you might do all this, but God can change your heart to the point you don't even think. You think that you're doing what you want to do, but you end up doing what God wants you to do, and he actually furnished the goods to have this thing built. When the builders, they laid the foundation of the temple of the Lord, they set up the priests in their apparel, trumpets, and the Levites, the sons of Asaph, with cymbals to praise the Lord after the ordinance of David, king of Israel. David was the one who set the worship into motion. He set the song, the anointing, praise and worship. And they had gone through this terrible time of captivity, but they never really forgot. It's amazing that when you go through a time of quarantine, when you go through a time of this virus and sickness and flu outbreak and all kind of things have happened. And when God's people, I'll say it like that, when God's people go through something like this, it's amazing how it can bring out that praise and that worship. And the songs that you have forgotten, you don't even sing anymore, all of a sudden they start coming back to mind. Rock of Ages, cleft for me. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Great is thy faithfulness, O God, my Savior. We start singing the songs that we had forgotten, that we thought they didn't sing anymore. And now here they are. They're getting their hearts back out. They start practice. And the building of the temple starts. They didn't just let the work start. They had these priests and these Levites. They were singing and praising God. They sang together by chorus and praising and giving thanks unto the Lord because he is good, for his mercy endures toward Israel forever. And that's why we sing and praise God, because he's a good God, and good God does good things. And he is good, and his mercy endures forever. All the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. They were happy just to see the foundation laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers, who were ancient men that were seen, had seen the first house when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice. You got some that are just happy. They've never seen anything like this before. They were newbies. They were millennials. They've never seen a house of God. And they're just cutting the rug for God because the house was being built. The foundation of the temple was laid. And you got the old Joes who said, yeah, that's good, but you ought to have seen it like it was on Carolina Avenue. Man, you ought to have seen it like it used to be. And they were sad. They were happy because the house was being built, but they were sad because it was nothing in comparison with what they used to have. Many shouted aloud for joy. So the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. God give us that shout of rejoicing. If they had something to shout about because the foundation of an earthly temple was laid, certainly you and I have something to shout about because we have the temple of God in our hearts. Our church, if you want to call it that, cannot be closed by a building and by a door, because you can't close the church of the living God. You cannot close the true church. The true church of Jesus Christ, pandemic or no pandemic, virus or no virus, the true church of Jesus Christ is alive and well. The true church of Jesus Christ is not overcome by who might be the preacher, or who is doing the gossip, or who is in the he said, she said club. The true church of Jesus Christ is not overcome by that. The prophet said, set on the great pot and give the people something to eat. And there was some bad stuff in there that they didn't know about. And so they had to straighten it out before they could eat it. And what my point is God's people, God's true people, is not going to eat out of the scum pot of the world. Now that's good preaching, even if I am teaching it, but this that was going on The foundation was laid, they were happy, and they were shouting for joy. And if they had something to shout about, we have something to rejoice about. Jesus is on the main line. We can tell him what we want. And he's coming back to get us, and the best is yet to come. We need to quit trying to hold on to this world so hard till our knuckles turn white. Mine might be turning white now because my hands are cold. But anyway, we need to get a loose grip on this world and get a tight grip on the hand of the man from Galilee. Chapter 6, verse 14 of Ezra, the elders of the Jews built it, and they prospered through the prophesying of Haggai the prophet and Zechariah the son of Iddo. So they were not only building the foundation, but now they begin to build the temple. And they begin to prophesy. And as more they builded, the more they prophesied. The more they prophesied, the more they builded. And they begin to sing that song. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building. I'm working on a building for my Lord, for my Lord. It's a Holy Ghost building. And the more they sung, the more they prophesied, the more they built it. You get to singing a happy song. Whistle while you work. You begin to sing a happy song. You know that hammer gets a little bit faster. Get to build. They builded and finished it according to the commandment of the God of Israel and according to the commandment of Cyrus and Darius and Artaxerxes, king of Persia. When you got God and the governor on your side, you got a good thing going. They prospered, they builded, and they finished it according to the commandment of God and according to the commandment of the king. This house was finished on the third day of the month Adar, which was in the sixth year of the reign of Darius the king. The children of Israel, the priests, and the Levites, and the rest of the children of the captivity kept the dedication of this house of God with joy. They were happy because the temple was being built. And now Jerusalem's wall is rebuilt. Nehemiah talks a lot about the building of the wall. If you want a good rally project, a good rally, pep rally for doing church work, read Nehemiah. It will give you a good rally. It'll also fry your brain trying to figure out all these names and all these things. But anyway, in chapter 2, verse 17, then said I unto them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. And this points to where we are right now. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to see what kind of mess we're in. It doesn't take a big bishop or a preacher to preach to you and tell you what kind of mess we're in. You know, brothers and sisters, that our world is in a mess. The prophet says here, you see what kind of mess we're in. You see what kind of distress we're in. And he said the gates are smitten. The walls of Jerusalem are burned with fire. The gates are burned with fire. He could have said, just let's quit. But no, he said, come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem that we be no more a reproach. We have to keep on trucking and keep on keeping on. The oil bill, which used to be paid way back there on the Mill Hill, when it was about $8 and something, I think, and the collection had to be taken up again, you can't quit just because you're in small things. Have we gotten so big and so used to being high and mighty that we have forgotten how to prosper? You don't have to have a 12-piece orchestra to prosper for God. You can do it with a flat-top guitar. You got the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's what's important. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for this good work. And it tells you about all these people that started building. John built, and James built, and Jim built next to him, and Frank built next to him. That's the names that we would use, but they got this name, like in chapter 3, verse 1, this Eliashib, you know, that hard word. High priest, he rose up with his brethren, the priests, and they builded the sheep gate. They sanctified it and set up the doors of it, even into the tower of hard word, Mia. They sanctified it unto the tower of that big hard word, Hananiel. Anyway, it's just telling you that all these people, they were building next to each other. Chapter 6, verse 15, this is Nehemiah. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul in 52 days. Now they had a big project. This was a huge work project. And they finished the wall, repairing and building the walls of Jerusalem up in 52 days. That was a miracle. All the enemies, everybody that was against them. It's a miracle that it happened so quickly. It came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, they were much cast down in their own eyes. They said, how in the world could this happen? For they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. God's people are called to reform. They're called not only to just build a physical temple and rebuild the walls, but they're called to get right with God. They're called to come clean, get away from sin, and get right with God. God tells his people in Malachi chapter 3, verse 7, return unto me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, we can repent. We can seek the face of God. In verse 10, he says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Some people might say, well, I'm just mad with the preacher right now. I'm mad with church right now. I'm mad with COVID. I'm mad with God. I'm mad with everybody, and I'm not going to pay my tithes. You know who that's going to hurt? You, yourself, and you. That's who it's going to hurt. God still says, bring you all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. And prove me, if you're going to use tithing as a method of giving, it's not the only method, but if that's what you're going to use as a method of giving, that's the way that God's going to bless you. He said, I'll open the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there'll not be room enough to receive it. Now, if you don't want that blessing, just stop serving God, stop giving to God, and don't expect no prayers to be answered. Don't expect no blessing to come down. But if you want the windows of heaven open on your life, you keep on being faithful to God, and he'll keep on being faithful to you. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. Those who feared the Lord, not those who gossiped about what's going on, not those who second-guessed what people are trying to do. They're always speaking negatively. But it said, they who feared the Lord, those who feared the Lord, they spoke often one to another, and the Lord heard it. The Lord hears what we're talking about. When we're running our brother or sister down, when we're having the preacher for lunch instead of chicken, God hears what we're doing. He knows what we're talking about. It said, when they were fearing the Lord and they testified to each other, they spoke one to another, the Lord heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name. Preachers have preached it, oh, you better be careful. You better not sin against God. He's got a book of remembrance that he's writing, but you know what the book of remembrance is talking about here? It's not talking about the sins that we've done against God. God knows all those. Is talking about the good things. God is writing a book of remembrance for the good things. Those who thought upon the Lord, those who thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serveth him. God said, I know who's mine. I know who belonged to me. And let those who name the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Then shall you return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not. There is a difference, by the way, brothers and sisters, between those who serve God and those who serve him not. Those who serve God are just like the session here, return from exile. God will bring you out of bondage. God will not only take you out of the bondage that you're living in right now, but God will take us out of the bondage of this corruptible world that we're living in now. This world is waiting and dying, and they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. And God wants us to manifest for his glory, to manifest for his name. They're waiting to hear a message of hope. They're waiting to see the power of God. They're waiting for us who name the name of Christ, instead of running and hiding behind every bush, they're waiting on us to call forth those things which be not as though they were. They're waiting for us to manifest the power of God, to pray for the sick, to reach the lost. They're waiting for us, the sons and daughters of God, to manifest the power of God to this generation in which we live. They need the message of hope. We have the message of hope. We have the message of life and life eternal. Father, I thank you for the opportunity to be your servant today, to be a son of God. Thank you for the daughters of God that are here. Thank you for your people. I pray, Lord, that like Israel, return from exile and captivity. Help us to know, Lord, that you will take us out of this bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. When you come and receive us unto yourself, may many more get ready to go and be with you where you are. We thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching session entitled Return from Exile. Make sure that Jesus Christ is your Savior and you know Him as your Lord today. He will free you from a life of sin. He will take you out of the kingdom of darkness and put you into the kingdom of light. You'll be free from Satan, and you'll be able to serve God forever. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.